Dr. William R. Glaze, host and teacher of the Anchored in Jesus radio program, has been the pastor of Bethany Baptist Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, since July 1990. Dr. Glaze has been preaching the Word of God over the airwaves for over 20 years, and the Lord has continued to bless this ministry with an ever-widening listening audience. You are invited to attend Anchored in Jesus' fifth annual fundraiser, a luncheon cruise on Saturday, May 7th, 2016, from noon to 2:30 p.m. on board the Gateway Clipper Princess. We will be ministered to by Dr. Glaze with an inspirational word and by the music of the male chorus of Bethany Baptist Church. The cost of the cruise is just $20 per person. All funds raised through donations and sponsorships will go directly to help cover the cost to air the nightly Anchored in Jesus broadcast. The luncheon cruise will be a time of encouragement for Dr. Glaze, as well as a way to introduce new friends to this radio ministry. For more information about ways to support this ministry, call 1-877-831-5060 or visit our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. We look forward to seeing you Saturday, May 7th, 2016. And remember, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.
It's not going to cling to me. I remember one day I was doing some work outside, and I was sawing, and some sawdust got on the ground. And all of a sudden, there was a caterpillar that was crawling, and the caterpillar crawled through that sawdust. And by the time that caterpillar got on the other end, it was filled up with sawdust. And that even as it crawled off, that sawdust stayed right on it. And that's the testimony of some Christians, that they walk through the sawdust of the world. And instead of shaking off that sawdust of the world, they keep walking and that sawdust is all on them. Resolved that I will live wholly in community, that the evil and wickedness of the people of this world, that it's not going to cling to me.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today we will conclude Resolution to a Holy Life from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Resolution to a Holy Life.
You know what Job said? Godly man, when God decided to pick someone out to be tested by the devil, and he said, have you considered my servant Job? Job is a godly man. But at the end of the book of Job, you know what Job said when he saw God face to face? He said, I hate myself. Because he realized his own sinfulness. That if we get a holy reverence and fear of God, then we're going to be holy in our conduct. See, you know, we can go back to what? Remember I said those ways that people seek to be holy? And one of the ways is legalism. You know, we can go back and we can be legalistic. Well, I'm going to keep all this. But yet and still in our heart, you know, we're not lining up with purity in our heart. We're just obeying a bunch of outward rules. God wants the holiness to come from the heart. And so David said he was resolved to be holy in his conduct. Is that a resolution that you might consider making? Resolved to be holy in my conduct. Secondly, David said, resolved, I'm going to be holy in my home. Resolved, I'm going to be holy in my home. Look what he says, verse 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Resolved to live in my home in holiness. That if you want to find out about William R. Glaze, don't ask the deacons, don't ask the deaconess, don't ask the trustees, but ask the people that live with him. Ask the people that live with me. You know, and if they're honest, they'll let you know about me. Why? Because we are at home what we are. As a matter of fact, if you go to that next slide, the next one, do you sing in the choir and sin in the chamber? Are you a saint abroad and a devil at home? What we are at home, we are indeed. We are indeed. And so this thing of holiness, if it's going to be real, it's got to be in the home. You got to allow the Lord to work in your life so that in your home, people see that you're holy. And that you can talk all the good talk out here, and you can say all the good things out here, but when the rubber meets the road, when you go home at night, take off your hat and kick off your shoes, are you still being holy? All right? Are you still being holy? David said that I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Now, you know, I realize that I could have people from my family, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and they can probably come and give you some stories about how they haven't seen holiness in me, right? But I'm going to give a good testimony. Now, this was years ago. I remember my son Daniel. He must have been, 8 or 9 years old, and he got into a conversation with his friends about their dads, and they were talking about what their dads did. And Daniel said, well, my dad gets up at 5:30 every morning and spends time with God. I said, wow. Like I said, there's probably 100 other testimonies that that others can give, to say, well, that I can balance that out, some other ways. But I mean, I just thought that, that was something that impressed my heart, that somebody in my home had noticed that. And that if we are living this thing out called the Christian faith, then the reality is that holiness is seen in our homes. And so David said, resolved is that I'm going to be holy in my home. The third thing that David says, so let me ask you this question. Resolved, is that one that you can make? Resolved to be holy in your conduct? Resolved to be holy in your home? Is that a resolution that you can make? Remember, Jonathan Edwards, he had 70 that he tried to practice daily. All right? What's one that you can take just for this week and say resolved that this is what I'm going to do? The third thing, he said he would be holy in his contemplation. Look what he says in verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. David said that he would be careful what came before his eyes. He would be careful what he looked at. Because he realized that, and I'm not sure whether this happened before or after. I have to go back. I didn't study the background behind this psalm. But there's a story in the life of David that is very relevant to what he's saying here. One day he was in his bedroom sleeping when kings should have been out to war. And he got up and walked on his balcony and he saw a young lady bathing. And he began to lust in his heart. And he sent his servants over there and told them to bring her to him. And she came over, and David had more relationship with her, and as a result of that, she conceived a child. And things just got messy after that. Amen. They just went downhill quick, fast, and in a hurry. Amen. It led to murder. It led to drunkenness. It led to lying. It led to the death of a child. All those things. Because what? He didn't preserve and protect his eyes. He said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Maybe you're struggling with some things that you see, some things that you look at. Would you resolve this week, as David resolved, that I'm not going to set anything wicked before my eyes, that I'm not going to allow myself to look at things that will cause my holiness to be affected. I'm not going to look at anything that's going to strike at the heart of what I want to be as far as a holy individual. Remember again, what does holiness mean? It means to be separated from sin and dedicated or set apart to God. That, Lord, I'm going to set my eyes on only those things that would bring you glory. And I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. Is that a resolution that you will make today? The last thing we see. He said, I'm going to be holy in my conduct. He said, I'm going to be holy in my cohabitation. I'm going to be holy in my contemplation, what I think and what I allow to come into my mind. And, you know, we're going to do a whole, I'm going to do a whole sermon on holiness in the mind, a whole sermon on that. But David said, and so when David said he was holy in his contemplation, that I'm going to break that down and we're going to understand what does it mean to be holy in my thinking. All right. And then finally, he said, resolved to be holy in the community. That in the community in which, now keep in mind, what is community? Community is not necessarily the neighborhood that you live in, even though that is your community. Community in a general sense is people that where you come in contact with. So right here, you're in a community. This is a community of people. You know, when you go on your job, that's a community of people. And so David said that I'm going to be resolved that I will be holy in the community. I found a very interesting story talking about this idea of being holy in the community. Listen to this. I like this. In his powerful book, The Holiness of God, R.C. Sproul observes that unbelievers often feel uneasy in the presence of an obedient Christian. The holiness of God reflected in a believer's life makes the non-Christian uncomfortable. Sproul then told the following true incident to illustrate his point. A well-known professional golfer was playing in a tournament with President Gerald Ford, fellow pro Jack Nicklaus, and Billy Graham. After the round was over, one of the other pros on the tour asked, "Hey, what was it like playing with the president and Billy Graham?" The pro said with disgust, "I don't need Billy Graham stuffing religion down my throat." With that, he headed for the practice tee. His friend followed him. After the golfer had pounded out his fury on a bucket of golf balls, he asked, "Was Billy a little rough on you out there?" The pro sighed and said with embarrassment, "No, he didn't even mention religion." Sproul commented, "Astonishingly, Billy Graham said nothing about God, Jesus, or religion. Yet the pro stomped away after the game, accusing Billy Graham of trying to ram religion down his throat." What happened? Simply this. The evangelist had so reflected Christ's likeness that his presence made the pro feel uncomfortable. Living in community. You don't have to beat people down with the Bible. You don't have to stuff tracts in their pockets. You don't have to open up and try to beat them down and make them feel bad. All you need to do is just let your light shine. Let the holiness of God shine through you. Now, I'm not a golfer, and I don't golf very often. But I can tell you one thing. The couple times that I've been golfing, I can see how the most spiritual person could get in the flesh real easy. And so, you know, Billy Graham, you know, he probably was hitting them off to the left and the right and, you know, missing the ball and stuff like that. But he just kept that Christ-likeness. He kept that holiness. And so here, I guess, a way that a person thought that he should have responded from what he was doing on the golf course, that he didn't respond that way. Because evidently, this guy saw a lot of other people who did the same thing that Billy Graham did that responded in a different way. He let Christ's light shine through him. And where did he let it shine? In the community. You see, even if you're golfing with three other people, that's what? That's community. And so you got to let your holiness come out, even in community. So first, we see that David said, as far as his resolution to be holy in the community, the first thing he said, I'm going to shake off all the outward influences of the world. Amen. I'm going to shake off all the outward influences of the world. Look what he said in verse 3. He said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who turn aside. It shall not cling to me. Let me go back to the flower, right? The dust on the flower, it didn't what? It didn't cling. David said that even though I'm around, look what he said, even though I'm around people who turn aside, people who work wicked, he said, even though I'm around them, anything that falls on me, I'm going to shake it off. It's not going to cling to me. I remember one day I was doing some work outside, and I was sawing, and some sawdust got on the ground. And all of a sudden, there was a caterpillar that was crawling, and the caterpillar crawled through that sawdust, and by the time that caterpillar got on the other end, it was filled up with sawdust. And that even as it crawled off, that sawdust stayed right on it. And that's the testimony of some Christians, that they walk through the sawdust of the world. And instead of shaking off that sawdust of the world, they keep walking, and that sawdust is all on them. Resolved that I will live holy in community, that the evil and wickedness of the people of this world, that it's not going to cling to me. Number two, in the community, he said that he would root out the influence of the world. Any inward influence that the world had on him, he said, I'm going to root it out. Verse 4, a perverse heart. So where is he talking about? The heart. A perverse heart shall depart from me. David realized that the breeding ground for wickedness is the heart. And so as soon as something came in, as soon as a thought came in that was ungodly, that would eat away at his holiness, what did he say? He said, I'm going to get a shovel, and I'm not going to dig down to the base of the plant. He said, I'm not going to dig down halfway through the root of the plant. He said, I'm going to dig all the way underneath the plant, and I'm going to root it out. Every sin starts with a thought. Somebody put it like this. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Wow. He said, I'm going to root it out. I'm going to root it out. You know, you may casually just be doing something on your computer, in your neighborhood, on your job, in your car, and all of a sudden, a thought comes to you. And if you don't do like David said, and you don't root it out, then guess what? It's going to start to go down deep in your heart. And it's going to grab a hold of your heart. And the next thing you know, that thought is going to become an act, which is going to become a habit, which is going to become a character, which is going to be a destiny. And some of you are sitting here right now, and you're in one of these levels. You may have the thought. You may be at the thought level. If you don't get control of it at the thought level, then guess what is going to happen? It's going to move to the act level. And maybe you're already at the act level. And then if you don't get a control of that act, then it's going to turn into the habit, something that you do frequently. And then if you don't get a hold of that habit, it's going to become a part of your character. And at that point, when it becomes a part of your character, if you don't deal with it, then it's going to be your destiny. And sad to say, there are probably some people that are sitting here right now that have reaped the destiny, and it started with a bad thought. It started with a wrong thought. And you're sitting here today, and your destiny has been determined. Now, you don't have to live in that destiny, but your destiny has been determined because of a thought that you let come into your mind. Let me read what David said again. He said, a perverse heart shall depart. And again, that word depart means to root out. He said, I'm going to a perverse heart. I'm going to root it out from me. And then he said, finally, that I will not, or I will avoid bad company in the world. That, you know, I've said this from this pulpit before. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. That might be something that you want to tell a young person. Might be something that you want to tell an older person too. Right? Yeah, you show me your friends. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Man, that nothing ever rang truer than that. David said in verse 4b, he said, I will not know a wicked person. He said, I'm not going to hang around a wicked person. Look at verse 5. Whoso secretly slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. You know, I'm going to get that person out of my life. He that hath a high look and proud heart, I'm not going to tolerate. I'm not going to be around this individual. Look at verse 7. He said, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell in my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. David said that I'm not going to hang around with the wrong crowd. I'm going to pick my friends. And I'm going to pick friends, as the Bible said, iron sharpens iron. I'm going to pick my friends that are going to help me to get to the destiny that God wants me to get to. I heard a preacher say one time, you can't walk with God and run with the devil. You can't be on God's honor roll and Satan's payroll. Whoa, you might want to write those down. I think that's... Yeah, you might need to write that down. You can't walk with God and run with the devil. And you can't be on God's honor roll and Satan's payroll. You know, the two are diametrically opposed. And so David said that he would not keep the bad company of the world. That he would not give in to peer pressure. That he would walk in the community in holiness. So as we think about this idea of holiness, I wanted to start today by challenging us to think about making some resolutions in our life. Resolutions to holiness. Just something, and you don't have to have a bunch of them. You might just need one. But even today, as you leave here today, what are you resolved to do? What are you resolved to do to live a holy life? As I close this morning, I want to share with you a poem that I read, and I put it on the PowerPoint so you can kind of read along with me. If Jesus came to your home to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you do. I know you give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you serve him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is a joy beyond compare. But when you saw him standing there, could you go to the door with your arms outstretched to welcome him, your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change some things before you let him in, or hide some magazines and put the Bibles where they'd been? Would family conversation be continued at its pace? And would you find it hard at each meal to say a table grace? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends, or would you hope they stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on, or would you sigh with great relief when at last he was gone? It might cause you some embarrassment, the things that you would do if Jesus came to your own house to spend some time with you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Lord, Help Me Not to Have These Evil Thoughts from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, resolution to a holy life, you can contact us here at Anchored in Jesus by calling 877-831-5060 and request Resolution to a Holy Life. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Resolution to a Holy Life. You can also request the entire series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World, by contacting us here at Anchored in Jesus at 877-831-5060 or visit us at anchoredinjesus.org. Also, like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to send a financial contribution, you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.